We're kind of in an in-between time right now. We've got a number of what we hope will be interesting and helpful sermon series lined up, but we ended up with an extra day in our planning for this year. And this text that I have for you this morning just kind of jumped off the pages at me, just as a way for us to think about how we deal with each other, how it is that we converse with each other and talk with each other. And it's a passage from James. Now, years ago, I had a fellow in the church in Wyalusing by the name of Don Heath, who was a wonderful mentor to me in many ways. And we were talking about sermons and preaching, and I was talking about all the different styles and all the different ways and manners in which sermons can be preached. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, Steve, there's really only two kinds of sermons anyhow." I go, "There is?" He says, "Yes. There's meat and potatoes, and their shoe hits the pavement." Because he distinguished it that there are those sermons that you leave worship and you kind of ponder on them, and you think about them, and they make you think, and they make you wonder, and they drive you back into the scriptures, and those are meat and potato sermons, and hopefully we give you a few of those in the course of the year. But shoe hits the pavement sermons are ones that really are just very practical. Help you to think about how it is that you live your life as a Christian, how it is that you, that all of us try to reflect our Christian faith through the way that we live. And James is really famous for that. As a matter of fact, Martin Luther wanted to exclude James from the canon because he thought that James was too much about our works as Christians, and he felt that it didn't proclaim the grace of God as much as it gave us ways and manners in which to live and do our work as Christians. So James is a very practical book, and I commend it to all of you. But this third chapter of James, I think, is one of the more famous chapters out of James, and it's one that has relevance for all of our lives every day and all day long. And so from the third chapter of James, the first 12 verses. "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse others who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. This is an interesting text in many different ways. First of all, it's probably not the best text to be teaching on the first Sunday when we're kicking off Sunday school, when it says not many of you should consider being teachers. Not a great recruiting text. But I think that what he's trying to say and what he's trying to get across is actually rather simple. That what we say and how we say it makes a difference. I think we can all think of examples of how that's absolutely true. There is a woman in the Conklin Church, a dear lady, a wonderful lady, just one of those people that you to know her was to love her. And she's a friendly lady, and so one Sunday we had a couple visiting the church for the second or third Sunday in a row. And she mustered up her courage, and she went up to them and introduced herself to them, extended her hand, and she said, "You don't belong here, do you?" I got a call from them the next morning saying they'll never be back to our church since they were told that they don't belong there. A kind gesture, just the wrong word. What she meant to say was, "I don't think that you're a member here yet, are you? Or I think you're somebody new to the church, aren't you?" But instead she said, "You don't belong here, do you?" So a simple word can bring such great harm. We all know that from our own experiences. Simple gestures that we make with acts of kindness in our hearts can sometimes backfire on us. I remember one time I was filling in for a colleague of mine up in the Tawanda Church. I was covering for him, and somebody in the congregation passed away. And so I was asked to do the funeral. So I arrived at the funeral home before the calling hours. I got there a little early because I wanted to meet with the family, and I got there. The funeral director wasn't at the door, so I wandered in, and there next to the casket was a woman who was just crying her eyes out. So I went up to her, and I expressed my sympathy and put my arm around her shoulder and tried to give her some encouragement, and at which point the widow and her family walked in. I could say nothing beyond that point that would have made any sense to anybody in that family. I had said the wrong thing, the wrong place, at the wrong time. So all the good that I might have desired to do was destroyed by a few words that I spoke. The tongue is a powerful thing. The words that we speak can do great good. Words of encouragement, words of hope, words of comfort, words that share God's love with others. Those words can bolster somebody up. They can build somebody up. They can lift them up. Those words can do wonderful, wonderful things for others. But a word spoken falsely, or a word spoken in a manner that demeans, a word that is spoken in gossip, or a word that is spoken about someone when we should be speaking with someone, those words can be very destructive. What James wanted us to see is that probably in the Christian life, the hardest task for us in living out our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, the hardest task for us is controlling our mouths, taming our tongues, teaching ourselves to say the right things at the right time in the right manner. And also, to avoid saying the wrong things in the wrong way at the wrong time and in the wrong manner. You know, there's so many times when we think that we are saying the right thing, and we try to express ourselves, and we think that we're doing something good with our words, but deep down inside we know that we're not. So many times when we think that we're sharing a concern for somebody, when in fact we're enjoying a little gossip about somebody. The tongue can take over so quickly and so easily. But taming the tongue is what we need to do. Learning how to speak well and wisely, kindly and graciously to each other Because what James is trying to get us to see is that if the words that we speak on a Sunday morning, in our praise, in our prayers, in our singing, if those words don't coincide with the words that we use on Monday and Tuesday and throughout the week, then there's an accountability that we need to make of ourselves. We need to look at ourselves a little bit more closely. We need to see how it is that we live our lives. Do our Monday morning words resemble in any form or shape our Sunday morning words? For the Christian faith is not a 1 hour a week or 1 day a week faith. It's a 7 day a week, 24 hour a day faith that changes us and encourages us to live our lives in a way that reflects God's love through who we are, what we do, and yes, even what we say. The tongue is a terrible thing to try and tame. We can tame lions. We can tame all sorts of animals. But taming the tongue, a little bit harder, takes a little bit longer. But it's worth our effort to try and live our lives in a manner that reflects the love of Jesus Christ each and every day, each and every hour. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we do give you thanks for the love Jesus Christ has shown to us. Let his love shine through us. Let his love overflow through the words that we speak, through the kindnesses that we offer. Let his love be seen in us 24 hours and 7 days a week. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.